Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Off to Cook, going to cut it back to the left side, through a hole, out to the 50, trying to get away from the defender, shakes another tackle, and he's into Miami territory at the 44-yard line. Back to pass, looking left, and stretching and reaching for it is Kincaid, and he stumbles into the end zone for the touchdown. A 20-yard touchdown hookup, Allen to Kincaid, and the Bills are an extra point away from tying it up early. Looking downfield, now goes back to the flat, and buried at the 38-yard line is Devon Achane. Shaq Thompson lowered the boom.
Another round of highlights from Chris Brown on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network after the Bills beat the Dolphins 31-21 yesterday at Highmark Stadium. Late last night at Highmark Stadium, I should say. Sal Capaccio here with you. On a Buffalo Football Friday reaction extra point show here today. And of course, our Football Friday is brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino, call the eights, and by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, Crosby's hometown fuel. Game day ready since 1922. Well, it's a Thursday night victory. It's a Friday night, extra point show. And I am here at Studio Capaccio. Yes, so. If you see me, because you can watch on YouTube, hello, this is Studio Capaccio, where I do the podcast. It's always game day in Buffalo. My buddy Matt Bove, we're here today. I mean, hey, you know, Studio Capaccio is good for times like this, because I think I got to bed last night about 2:45 a.m. Back up this morning, ready to rock and roll with Jeremy and Joe, and ready to talk to you. So things are going quick, and the power of technology today, we're able to stay in Studio Capaccio and do this show and take all of your calls as we would normally on a Monday. Bullpen, what's going on? Just want to give a shout-out to you guys. I know you're in there right now, and you can chat with us. You can go to Studio Capaccio and watch, I should say, Studio Capaccio and WGR Sports Radio 550 on the YouTube page. That is WGR 550 on YouTube, and you can chat right there. All right, I won't be able to respond to a lot of your chats because I'll be doing the show, but you can talk with each other. What you liked, what you didn't like about the game, and of course, heading forward with the Buffalo Bills. And we also are going to take your calls, because that's what we do on a reaction show. We take your calls, and whether it's a Monday or a Friday, and I have to be honest, I got up today, and I grabbed the Victory Monday t-shirt, and I'm like, no, it's not a Monday. I mean, is that a faux pas? I mean, what do you think? In fact, you know what? Let's start this off. Let's get the bullpen involved right away. Bullpen. Answer this question for me. Would it have been weird if I wore a Victory Monday shirt today, like I do after the Bills win on a Sunday? Would it be weird? Because I thought I still wear it next Monday, because I'm still going to do the show on Monday. Would it be weird if I wore it today? Because I'm going to wear it Monday anyway. So maybe that would have been weird. Wear it on a Friday and a Monday would have been okay. You would have been acceptable of it, right? So thank you. Sal, you can still wear it. Thank you. Does anyone have a Victory Friday shirt? We got to get on that one. There you go. Wear the shirt. No, I don't have it. I do have a buffalo here on my shirt, though, with some snarly looking face. And, you know, I think a lot of you are a little snarly today after the Bills win 31-21. What's up with that? A little snarly after the victory. I get it. They didn't play their cleanest game. They didn't play a perfect game. There's a lot of things that didn't look great that went a little awry. And you're feeling like, man, you know, yeah, you got to clean that up. No doubt. Like, I get it. No doubt. But. Folks, I mean, I think, honestly, I got to be honest, I think that some of the expectations are getting a little unrealistic here. I mean, you can't just walk into division games against an 0-2 team and just, you know, run them out of the building by 30 points. I know that'd be great. And you look at the Dolphins and their situation, you think that that could happen, but it was still 31-21. The Bills won by 10 points. Now, I'm not here to sit here and tell you everything was rainbows and, unicorns and all that, that everything was great. But man, like, they still won 3-0, and it feels like to a lot of people, just way more to you went wrong than right. I don't agree with that. I think there were definitely things that went wrong, and we could talk about that, the things they have to clean up. I say it all the time. I'll say it now. Every game has its own DNA. What does that mean? What does it mean, every game had its own DNA? It means that every game is different, obviously. Every game plan is different. When someone says to me, well, you can't do that against the Ravens or you'll lose, my response is, well, they didn't play the Ravens, so you don't play them the same way. You play the Dolphins, and you have a game plan for the Dolphins. They have a much different team than the Ravens or the Chiefs or the Bengals or the Eagles or whoever. And you construct a game plan to go against the opponent you're playing, not against an opponent you're going to play later down the road because, well, we can't play like that against them. No, it doesn't matter. You're not trying to beat the Chiefs right now. You're trying to beat the Dolphins. The Bills were their own worst enemy yesterday in a lot of ways. They were the better team, and they started to stall out a little bit on offense, and they still wound up scoring 31 points. It's crazy to think about the fact that the Bills, like, didn't have their fastball. They didn't have their best offensive output, mostly in the second half, and yet they still scored 31 points and won by 10 points over a division rival. And I just think that's a great sign. But there's certainly some things to clean up and things we want to talk about, and I want to talk about all of that with you at 803-0550 here on the Football Friday Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR Sports Radio 550. We are going to hear from a lot of people today, okay? So we're going to take your calls, but I also want, because this was a late night and a lot of you haven't heard from Sean McDermott yet, we'll hear from him. We'll hear from Josh Allen. We'll hear from Terrell Bernard. We got locker room sound. So we'll hear all of that. And we'll take your phone calls, and I welcome them at 803-0550, whatever you liked or didn't like. And, of course, what I like and what I don't like is always at WGR550.com after every game. It is called Arrow Up, Arrow Down, and I'll run through that as well because the arrows down. Now, after games, I say to you a lot of times, I put out there on social media, on X, at Sal Sports, I say, give me suggestions for Arrow Up, Arrow Down. And last night, there were a lot of suggestions for Arrow Down. Quite a few for Arrow Up, too, but way more, I think, for Arrow Down, and that's where I got to. Man, it feels like if you didn't know the score of the game, if you didn't know the result of the game, and you saw the replies after I asked that, you'd think the Bills really got beat, and people are really upset. They didn't get beat. They also didn't play quite up to their standard in a lot of ways, and that's okay to recognize, but you also want to make sure you know and I recognize that they did win a game and they moved to 3-0 and they're the first team in the clubhouse with three wins here early on in the NFL season. So if you go over to WGR550.com, arrow up, arrow down. We start with the ups for the third straight week because I start with an up when the Bills win. I start with a down when they lose. And I think there's some encouraging things that we've seen early on in this season that really did show up very well last night. And I'm going to start with Dalton Kincaid. Dalton Kincaid is turning into, I think, the player that the Bills told you they needed him to be in 2025. He has gotten bigger. I've stood next to him. You can tell. And it's not like massively bigger, but it's bigger. It's thicker. He's stronger. And it's showing up in his game. He's becoming a better blocker. When he's on the field, he can block and he can obviously catch passes. And he did in this one. 5 catches, 66 yards. And the score. And I think it's just a great sign for the Bills, not only Dalton Kincaid, but really the entire tight end group. And this is kind of where the offense is right now, folks. The offense is at a spot where they can play a little more conservative, and it doesn't look great to you, and it doesn't sound great, and you want them to throw the ball. And I did too. Like, I thought they should be more aggressive last night. But their philosophy right now is, we can just kind of beat you playing a game where we're not going to make mistakes. And if it comes time where we have to kind of put the foot on the gas, we'll do that like we did against the Ravens. I don't love that because I think you could get into a trap and you could wind up getting into a situation where maybe, you know, you fall behind and then you make a mistake and you can't catch up. Could have happened to the Ravens. It almost happened last night. But at the same time, I also love the fact that this team just doesn't give the ball away and they can still move the ball down the field in a number of different ways. They can lead on the running game. They can use 3 tight ends, 13 personnel. normally when you have 13 personnel on the field, the defense thinks it's big boy football, physical. They're going to come right at you. Teams can't do that against the Bills because the Bills have Dalton Kincaid, Dawson Knox, and Jackson Hawes, who gets his first NFL touchdown. Jackson Hawes said with those three and Reggie Gilliam, he called it a four-headed snake, actually, is what he called it. And yes, that's a formula to win. It's also, though, concerning when you don't see the Bills throw the ball down the field and get some explosive plays because they're going to need that. I had some people tell me, and I know I've heard you, and maybe we'll get some calls on this, say, and read you say, that, you know, you don't like Joe Brady's play calling because he's not throwing the ball down the field or allowing Josh Allen. Look, I don't think there's anything about not allowing Josh Allen. There were several times last night that I'm on the field watching, and I don't know if you could tell from your TV broadcast or if you were there, Josh did look downfield, and then he checked it down. Sure, there are going to be a lot of plays designed to go underneath, short passes. There were plenty of plays where Josh Allen looked downfield to throw, and he didn't throw it. And what you have to look at is, did the Dolphins in this case keep everything in front of them and not allow the Bills to do that? So there's a lot of just nuances in how these things go, right? James Cook with an excellent performance. We'll get to him as well. But man, this guy is off to a great start this year. 108 yards, 5.7 yards a carry. He gets into the end zone for the seventh straight regular season game, tying a franchise record. Guy gets paid and he's still just on an ascension basically here. And he's just been really, really good so far for the Buffalo Bills. Third down defense was an issue. Definitely we can get to that. We'll get a lot more on we'll get into a lot more of what you want to as well. 803-0550 here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Before we get to calls, though, how about Terrell Bernard? I'm so mad. I'm mad at myself. Joe Cali, I'm mad at myself. I mean, he's on the phone, I think, taking a phone call. I got to tell you why I'm mad. Because the game was in the fourth quarter. And Chris and Eric are doing the game up top. And I thought to myself, I said, we had a report coming from me, like they were going to come down to me. And Joe, I'm mad at myself because I said, I'm going to say on the air, boy, guys, I really think I really smell a Terrell Bernard like turnover coming. And I never did it. I didn't say it. And then it happened. I would have looked like the soothsayer. Nostradamus. So it didn't happen, though.
No, that would have been awesome, though, I will say.
I know. I thought it. And no, you don't have to believe me, folks. I'm sitting here and they're like, yeah, whatever, Sal. You didn't. I was going to say on the air, guys, I smell a Terrell Bernard turnover. The guy just has a knack to make plays, to make turnovers, to be around the ball. And you know what's great about last night? Man, again, this is the nuance of football that you kind of have to just step back and think and see what's happening and digest it all before you make these rash judgments. Because I saw a lot of people saying he took a risk, and if he gets beat, it's a big play down the field. That's not the case, folks. Terrell Bernard, after the game, said he saw this on film, and you know he kind of figured what was coming. So I asked him, like, when did you see it, and take me through kind of the process of that. He said, well, the Jets actually ran the same concept and had some success on a play or two. So they knew it might come from the Dolphins, and they saw the Dolphins do the same thing. So he gave a shout out to Al Holcomb, his linebackers coach, who said, look, they're going to run this and be ready for it. He said earlier in the game, they ran the exact same formation. He saw it develop, but they didn't throw it there. And then late in the game, the interception play, Terrell Bernard said, I saw it. I knew they were going to throw it there and I was going to jump it. And he said, even if I got beat, like I said, hey, it's a risk, right? He said, well, they were in zone defense. This was the key for me. He said, we were in zone. If he risks and he doesn't get there, it's okay. Someone's going to make the tackle. Yeah, you might give up some yards, but it's not like you're giving up a big play down the field. Folks, that was a calculated risk based on study. That's why Terrell Bernard is who he is and a team captain and making those plays. So just want to throw that out there. 803-0550 is the number to call. We'll get to a lot of your sound from the locker room after McDermott, Allen, Bernard, and more here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Lots of your phone calls coming in, though. Let's start it off with Clover in Texas. Hi, Clover. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. How are you?
You got it. I'm doing great. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Well, I'm happy about the win. I mean, like, Miami, they know us so well. They know how to attack Sean McDermott's defense. I mean, they have some good players. I mean, Waddle, he really went off. There was some throws that Tua missed to Hill that really could have hurt us, so we got lucky there. But, I mean, we can't forget, like, Skylar Thompson came up and really gave us a hard time during a playoff game a couple years ago. So, I mean, I think people should really be happy with this win. And then, you know, just made the mistakes, right, with the interception and the bad penalty. So that kind of leads me to the reason why I called. I wanted to know what you thought about the special teams play this season under the new coach. I noticed it's kind of like not a story. The coverage and the punts and kickoffs seem really good. And then I was wondering with the shank on the field goal from Prater, I was wondering if that had something to do with the new punter coming in. And
I have to tell you, Clover, I haven't looked at that yet, so I can't tell you. I don't know if the hold was bad or not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he had that same guy last week, and he was 6 for 6 on kicks.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
You know, I can't. I think 6 for 6, maybe 5 for 5. So I can't tell you for sure if that had anything to do with it. I think overall special teams have been good for the Bills, but the opening kickoff was not good coverage last night, and then Brandon Codrington also muffed a punt. So not a good night for special teams. They missed a field goal. That was out of the 3 games they played, though. That's the first time I would say that about the new about special teams right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I guess in the years past, we've had some. Things that have cost us games, right? Like the 12 men on the field for the one game, I think it was Denver.
Yep.
So
yep.
At least there's not that. Like, yeah, you're right. There was some mistakes last night. I've heard people ripping on Codrington, but, you know, like.
Oh, well, whatever. He muffed a punt. He muffed a punt. He's very good at his job and what he does. So,
yeah.
I wouldn't agree with that. But he did muff a punt, and he's got to be better than that, and he knows that. But thanks a lot, Clover. I got to run. Always appreciate you giving a call. Yeah, you got it. Let's go. By the way, how about this? We got back-to-back from the Lone Star State, Steve in Texas. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Sal, I just kind of wanted to echo your point a little bit about, you know, super short week, division matchup. You know, that's totally a survive and advance, especially given some of the injuries we've had. And Miami is just so fast and has, you know, 3 home run hitters on offense, regardless of people's opinion of, you know, what Tua is going to do at quarterback. But the biggest thing I noticed from that game was that series of plays leading up to Prater missing the field goal, it seemed like, you know, very low risk. We're going to get points here, and we're going to be in the driver's seat for the rest of the game. And then when he missed that field goal, it kind of seemed like, not the offense or Joe Brady in particular tightened up, but it seemed like it got really protective, and the style of their offense really changed for – you know, a quarter and a half or 2 quarters after that. It just didn't seem, it seemed like they really got out of their comfort zone when they missed that field goal. And it's a good point.
I gave that entire sequence an arrow down. I agree with you. I thought the complexion of the game completely changed on that series. And then Miami comes down and they tie the game. You're talking about a swing, Steve. Could have been 17-7, maybe even 21-7. And the Bills get nothing out of it, and then Miami scores. But you're right. If you go back to there, the Bills actually got the ball down to the Miami 16-yard line. From there, they ran for 2 yards, ran for no gain, and then got sacked and then missed that field goal. I agree. And I don't know if the offense, like the philosophy of the offense changed after that, but after that series, it was not as easy for the Bills because the first 2 series, they were just moving the ball at will down on the Miami Dolphins. You know what I mean? And then that could change the complexion of the game. But I agree with you on that. I appreciate it. Let's go to Neil in North Carolina. What's up, Neil?
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking my call. And if you would have made that call, we could have called you Sal Adamas. I would guess.
Sal Adamas. Huh? There you go. See, I know. I'm telling you. You might not believe me. I said it. I even said it to those guys in a break. I'm like, guys, I'm so mad at myself. I smelled a Terrell Bernard turnover. But you know why, Neil? It's because that guy just seems to make plays. And listen.
He does.
Tremaine Edmonds did a lot of nice things in a Bills uniform. But Terrell Bernard's kind of the antithesis of Tremaine Edmonds. Tremaine Edmonds would have, he'd fill up a stat sheet with tackles, but you were always missing that splash play, especially in a critical moment. Whereas Terrell, maybe he doesn't fill up the stat sheet all the time. He does. And then he makes a critical play at a critical moment.
Yep, absolutely. The thing I was going to say is, like you were saying, a lot of people are upset. They didn't pass the ball. They didn't throw it enough. And it seemed like he went in there, Brady, with an idea of, okay, let's see if we can run the 2 and the 3 tight end offense. They were able to run. And the other thing was they move quick, Miami. So the best thing we can do is to run the clock. And when you have a running back like him, it reminds me of the 90s. The reason that team was as great as it was, yeah, they had a quarterback. Yeah, they had receivers. They also had Thurman Thomas, who can change the game rushing. And it also can open up in other types of games, the passing. So I actually thought the game plan wasn't that bad. Did I expect that? No. But I actually thought it wasn't that bad. But the point of that missed field goal absolutely started to change. And luckily, you know, they were able to play the way they're playing. It's just enjoyable to watch these guys. I mean, they're really playing great. And like you said, things they need to fix, absolutely. But you walk away with a Miami team that came in there hungry to beat us because they were 0-2. And we were able to hold them off. And we're now 3-0. So I definitely give him kudos for that. But I'm enjoying watching the run. I mean, he's amazing, Cook. And when they put that three tight end, it seems like he's getting anywhere from 5 to 10 to 12 yards every time.
Yeah, you got it. I appreciate that. And listen, it's so funny, Neil. Like, you're like, yeah, you know, conservative, this and that. And then they score 31 points. That's what's wild about this team, right? Like last week, Josh Allen. You know, Josh Allen doesn't account for a single point. And they score 30. And it's like, how do they do that? And I think that's just a sign of a good team, even though it could be kind of boring, quote unquote, right? I mean, I think that's how you have to look at it. Andrew in Utica. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, good morning, Sal.
Good morning.
Wanted to share with you some reflections I had after sleeping, because a lot of the fan base last night, including myself, was super stressed. Like, this is some bad team. We scored 31 points without a turnover, and a lot of fans are talking like we lost the game, myself included, last night. But after sleeping on it, we really got to enjoy these moments of having one of the best offenses in the league. And a forward-looking statement on the defense, we're down about 5 key contributors with Oliver, Milano, Okunjobi, Hoyt, and Harrison. So I think that situational defense will improve moving forward. And also looking at the box score, Tua passed for 146 yards on 36 attempts. So just brief reflection on the game and forward-looking statement on the defense. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you got it. Listen, the yards per play for the Dolphins was less than 5, like 4.6. The only issue with the Bills' defense I really had was third down defense. A lot of that stemmed from not getting much of a pass rush. You know what I mean? So I think that that is a area where they have to be better. But at the same time, I think that, you know, they did a very nice job overall defensively. 803-0550. Here's the number to hear to call on WGR Sports Radio 550. And if you want to give a call and you want to jump on board, we can do that. We'd be like Mike in Lancaster here. We'll take one more call before a timeout, and we'll get to Mike. What's up, Mike?
Sal, good morning. So glad they won. So glad they're 3-0. I do have a couple things. I know, I hate to be the Debbie Downer, but I got a couple questions for you. First drive, which is obviously a very important drive in the game because Miami goes down and gets that touchdown, right? They kind of set the tone for the game, I thought. They came out and played with some attitude, and, you know, hats off to them, but glad we pulled it off. But how is that not being called down? Tyreek Hill bobbled the ball before he went out of bounds. The announcer on TV made it known. I seen it. And we did too.
And I don't know. And I think, you know, Sean McDermott speaks today. Maybe he'll get asked about that. Like, he maybe should have been able to, maybe should have challenged that. I would also tell you, I think if it was clear, they could have overturned it on the replay assist like they do sometimes. They can do that. They didn't do that. I agree with you. I mean, yeah, sure. It's a nitpicky thing, but it's probably right. They probably should have challenged that, but they didn't. Maybe he didn't. Maybe they just didn't feel it was close enough. He didn't want to lose a challenge that early in the game. You know what I mean? In a timeout. I don't know.
And that brings me to my second point. And we pay that guy upstairs, that official that's supposed to, we hired him last year, and I haven't seen great things from that guy. I thought we would have been a lot better with the challenges, but I don't know why he's not seeing that. And second, saving the timeouts, we're calling timeouts before the end of the half, kind of with Miami driving, having the momentum, and I understand he wants to get the ball back, right? But we're getting the ball after the half. I understand if we're getting the ball, we weren't getting the ball after the half using the timeouts, but I just thought it was the wrong decision to start using timeouts and helping Miami on that final drive there.
Well, you're looking for something then there to nitpick, because you just said you understand it and he's trying to get Josh Allen the ball to double dip.
No, I understand it if we were not getting the ball back after half. I would understand that.
I know that, but I'm saying they wanted to double dip. They wanted to get the ball, score, and get the ball back at the end of the half. So, I mean, you have Josh Allen as your quarterback, right? I mean, that's
I disagree with hardly any timeouts and you're letting Miami drive. I don't know. I just didn't feel it. I thought it was the wrong decision.
Okay, that's cool. You can feel that way, but I mean, you have Josh Allen, and the coach obviously wanted to be aggressive, and we get calls all the time that he's not aggressive enough, Mike.
Well, if you want to say that, Sal, what do we have, one pass over 10 yards last night?
Correct. Whole game? That is correct. That is correct. Now, I'll point that aggressive. Out, and I agree with you on that, and I wrote about that. I would also tell you, that's not just on coaching. Josh Allen looked downfield and decided to check it down several times.
Right.
But that's on the quarterback, too.
It would be nice if Josh would at least throw something down, even if it's a busted play, wasted play, just to try to open some things up for him. I would like to see that. You hate to nitpick things, but when they're good, you got to find something to nitpick on, right?
Is there anything you liked about the game, Mike?
Yeah, I liked that they won. Okay,
there you go, buddy. I love it. Thanks a lot. We'll take a timeout here. I appreciate that. Just wanted to end on a good note here on the first segment. We'll take a timeout here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR Sports Radio 550. We are going to hear from Sean McDermott, who spoke postgame, Josh Allen, Terrell Bernard. We'll try to do all that, but you guys got calls coming in, so we'll take that as well here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you on a Buffalo Football Friday on WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
To screen pass to Shakir. Has a blocker in front, racing to the end zone, and he's in. It's a 15-yard screen pass for a touchdown as Shakir got great blocking downfield, got up the sideline and into the end zone, and the Bills have the lead back again.
That is Chris Brown of the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. By the way, thanks to Chris, who texted to me and said the hold was good on the missed field goal attempt. Laces might have been not exactly where you want them to be, but they were good enough, and hold was good. So, yeah, we had a caller earlier who wondered about that, Clover, who said, you know, was the hold poor from Cameron Johnston on Prater's kick? No, just he just missed it. So, and that happens, and that's his first miss in a Bills uniform. Okay, so we had a caller a little while ago, and he was upset, or at least, you know, criticizing, I guess, the timeouts being used by Sean McDermott at the end of the first half. And I've seen that too. I went back and looked at the play-by-play because I want to just kind of go through it. In my mind, I also was a bit surprised the Bills were doing it, but I understood. He said he understood. But here's why. So the Bills used their second timeout after a first down play. The biggest thing I was curious about and really, I guess you'd say, like, surprised, right? I was surprised that it wasn't just the Bills used a timeout. It was after it was a 5-yard gain. So it's already first and second and five now. And they're like, okay. Because I thought, all right, the chances of them getting a first down, you're giving them more time here, which I think is what the caller might be alluding to. But then on the second play, they go -2 yards. Now you call timeout. It's your third timeout because there's only, at that time, 47 seconds left. Folks, I mean, if you force now, if Miami throws an incomplete pass, okay, on third down and seven, the Bills are getting the ball back with 40 seconds left. That's not what happened. They actually ran a little bit of time, but that's what they got a first down. But the reason why Sean McDermott calls timeout at the end of the half there is he calls timeout twice, and they already used one, so that's the third timeout. And the reason is because you're in a third and seven, if Miami has an incomplete pass, the Bills are getting the ball with 40 seconds left pretty much with Josh Allen to score and then score again. So, I mean, you can't have it both ways. You can't say, man, coach is too conservative. And then when he does that, you know, be upset about it, because that's being aggressive to allow Josh Allen to get the ball. I was surprised. I just totally get it. Like, that's what they did, and it didn't work out, but I get it. Let's go to Billy in Toronto. Hi, Billy. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. Listen, when I call into talk shows, I really call in to disagree or argue, but I don't know what it is with you, Sal. Me and you just think too much alike. I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. Listen, if the fan base thinks that we're going to go out and beat teams 48-7 every week, think again. I mean, these are the kind of games I want. I want these games all year long. Yeah, I'd like a blowout here and there, but this will get us ready for the playoffs. I think when you go to championship games and World Series and lose, and you come back the next year, I just think that your mind is still on getting back to the playoffs. I know you got to play the regular season, but, you know, this game today, first of all, Miami, you know, Miami catches the break with us. They don't have to come up here in December or January in the cold weather. They finally get a nice day to play us. I know they're 0-2, but they're a professional football team. And for this game, you know, if Miami had won this game, I wouldn't have been surprised. I wouldn't have said, okay, 12.5-point underdogs, how do we lose? We're going to have these games all year. Teams are coming at us. The only way we blow somebody out is if we lose a tough game, and then we're really into that next game. But listen, stop complaining. We won this game. We're 3-0. Get healthy and just keep this season going. And in my estimation, it's on to the Super Bowl this year. That's all I got, Sal.
All right. Yeah. Thank you, Billy. Listen, there's always room to say this didn't go right, that didn't go right. You have to improve there, because that's what coaches are doing. That's what players are doing. There's no doubt. But I agree with you that, like, this is, I think the expectations are getting a bit unrealistic for a lot of people. Oh my gosh. Like, folks, winning in the NFL by 10 points, it's just like, you don't do that much in this league. There's not a lot of games every week that are decided by double digits. There's just not. And the Bills have now done it 2 weeks in a row and in two division games in a 4-day span. Like, that's really good. Really good. And even if you, and doing it when you don't even play that well. Here are the point totals from last week in games where they're decided. There was a 9-point game on Thursday night. This is last week. And then there was a blowout, Ravens and Browns. And then, let's see, Bengals won by 4. Cowboys won by 3. Lions won in a blowout. Patriots won by 6. 49ers won by 5. Cardinals won by 5. Colts won by 1. Bucks won by 1. Eagles won by 3. There's about, what, 4 or 5 games maybe with double digits point spreads here. I mean, you know, there's 16 games in a league pretty much every week. The expectations, the talk all week. I was concerned this week because all the talk was this week about Mike McDaniel getting fired and how they're just going to roll over and go home. And I got caught up in that too. But man, that's a team. Those are professional athletes. They have pride. They're trying to win. And it's a division game. So the Bills didn't play their best football, which happens sometimes on Thursdays, by the way, and they still scored 31 points and won. And that's a good thing, and they have things to work on. We can keep it all in that kind of not overreacting either way space. Shane in North Carolina. Hi, Shane.
Morning, Sal. Happy Victory Friday. I just want to talk about Jimbo for a second. I know it's only 3 games, but is it too early to – start talking about him being a offensive player of the year candidate? I mean, this guy, he leads the league with 284 rushing. He's got currently 5.4 yards a carry. If my math is correct, he's roughly on pace for 1,600 rushing, 600 receiving, 22 touchdowns. And I know those numbers will probably die down a little bit, but that's what he's on pace for. And I just think this guy, he's a total game changer. I've been pounding my fist on the table for being – you get one for a while now, and it seems to me we truly have one, aside from Allen.
It's a great call. It's a great point. I'm looking at his stats now. He's at 5.36 yards, so you're close on that. But the only running backs who are averaging more so far through 2 games only for the others are Travis Etienne, Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, Derrick Henry, Rashad White, and Jonathan Taylor and Kenneth Walker. They're all up there, too. Jahmyr Gibbs. So he's, what, eighth, ninth in yards per carry. He's leading the league in total yards rushing, but he has played one extra game. But the other part is he's finding the end zone again, Shane, and that's how you do it, too, right? I mean, you're scoring those points and helping your team. I think it's a good point. I mean, could the Bills actually have an MVP candidate and an offensive player of the year candidate separately on the same team? Yeah, at this point they do. Let's go to JD in Hamburg. Hi, JD.
Hey, Sal, good morning. I just want to say that, you know, I've seen a lot of good Bills teams, but the last couple of years I've seen a Bills team that gets lucky. And I do believe luck is the residue of design. And I'll take luck, you know, bad penalties, a key interception. You know, the stats don't tell us the when. Like what Bernard did last night, it's the when, making plays at the exact right time. So you got to win ugly. This is a divisional game. And Miami's going to come ready, just like the Jets and the Pats are going to come ready. So I'll take lucky every time. Then I just want to say something about James Cook. I've said this before. I said this before the season. People weren't so sure. When he is as productive as Josh Allen, they will win a title. And when the coaches give him the ball as much as they've been giving them the ball, the Bills are going to be almost unstoppable. And I'm telling you, I think this team can win a title when you know, Elway didn't win until he had Davis. Marino never won because he didn't have a running game. They've got something here now, and I think Cook can deliver a title if the coaches really keep ramping up his percentages and touches.
Yeah, you got it. Thanks, JD. Good call. And, you know, luck, the residue of design, I like that. Because it's not luck when you do things right and through a 60-minute game, something happens to go your way because you keep doing things right. A ball could bounce one way or the other. We know that can be luck sometimes. Look, Sealer running into the punter. I mean, that's, you can't do that for the Dolphins. That's what bad teams do. They make plays like that. They make mistakes like that. And that's what he did on that play. And that, sorry, that really helped the Bills, obviously, in that moment. Coach Ronald says, the Bills are averaging 34 points a game. Come on, relax. The fish came to play. They played tough. It's how you learn and grow. And that's getting connected with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. That's right. I just looked it up. Baltimore leading the league at 40.5 points a game. The Bills are second at 34 points a game. That's through three games. Baltimore has already played two. And by the way, Baltimore plays Detroit on Monday night. Detroit's averaging 32.5. That could be a high-scoring game there. Let's go to CJ in West Seneca. What's going on, CJ?
Hey, Sal. Morning, man. So just the two bright spots for me on defense last night. I thought Deion Walker's best game as a pro was last night. He only had two tackles, but the one play was either like a pitch play or like a throw to the flat, and he got to the boundary and made a tackle. Mm-hmm. And then if you look at the replay of Bernard's interception, I think Walker either got a piece of it or he at least got his hands up into his face enough, I think, to maybe make that throw be a little bit off. And then Trey White looks like he's back to his old, you know, Trey White self as much as he can be. He had a couple of nice pass breakups last night. But the one that I'm concerned about, we're almost 20% of the way through the season, and Greg Rousseau has been on a milk carton the first 3 weeks. He's been nowhere to be found anywhere. So I was just wondering if you can see stuff when you're on the sideline. Are teams scheming against him and they're able to kind of, you know, neutralize him, or has it just been bad luck the first few weeks?
Yeah, so a couple of things. I'll touch on all three of your players and points here. Deion Walker actually said it to us in the locker room too, CJ. He said, tell Terrell he owes me a thank you because I pressure, it was my pressure. That's what he said. He did not say he got his hand on it, so I don't think he did, but you're right, it was close and we couldn't tell, right? But he did say he got the pressure there, and he did for sure. Deion Walker had a really nice game. I agree with you. It's interesting you say that about Trey White. I got a lot of, and I gave Trey White a narrow down because I thought that he got beat a little too much on the outside, him and Christian Benford. And I do agree with you, though. He made some nice plays. He was involved in the run game. But a lot of people are really down on Trey White after yesterday's game. I will say, I think it was circumstantial, which is, you know, there was long yardage situations. He'd given him a cushion, and the pass rush didn't get home. So you're going to get beat a lot in those situations when you're a corner because you have guys that you're trying to respect the speed of, and that can happen. I thought it was an interesting game for Trey like that because you could look at it one of two ways. So thank you. And then the final one. Okay, so Greg Rousseau. Yeah, not productive right now. Him and AJ Epenesa combined for two total tackles. I do think not having Ed Oliver hurts Greg Rousseau, but at the same time, that's going to happen. He's got to win his one-on-ones. And I'm not seeing that enough right now from him. And I don't know if they're necessarily scheming against him specifically, because Joey Bosa's on the other side. You should be a little better than that and be a little more productive than what he has been. But we know that he's been productive in the past, and hopefully that'll change. So hopefully that answers all your questions, CJ.
No, I did. And like you said, I figured bringing Bosa in, you know, maybe Greg would be getting a little bit more one-on-one with the tackle, but it doesn't seem to be working out just on the stat sheet the first 3 weeks or so.
Yeah, I wonder like I said, when Ed Oliver comes back, if that would help out. And again, it wasn't like it was great against, you know, Baltimore, but I do think that'll help having some more, you know, somebody in the interior that'll take up a little bit of attention there. Okay, we'll take a timeout. Thank you so much for all the calls. Keep them coming. I plan on playing some sound, but we don't have to today because we can just keep taking the calls. And then Sean McDermott's going to speak anyway in an hour to the media. And the coordinators will talk after that today as well. And we're going to keep talking about this game. Bills win 31-21. They are at 3-0, first in the clubhouse with three wins in the 2025 NFL season. Back after this timeout in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We got a call coming all the way from Indonesia, I believe. John, are you in Indonesia?
Yes, Al, I'm traveling, and I am in Jakarta, Indonesia.
Wow, I love that. Okay.
Yeah, I was able to watch the game this morning. I'm all good. We won. However, I have a question, two questions. First is regarding the running back rotation and rotating three running backs. Want your opinion on that. When we have a guy, James Cook, who has proven he is a three down back, and he can take it to the house on any given play. So,
they didn't rotate three running backs that much last night, though. James Cook's snap count is so far through three games way higher than it has been. So far, he was on the field for 67% of the snaps. Ray Davis didn't even get a handoff yesterday.
That's fine with me. I mean, but I don't know.
James Cook had 19 carries. Hold on. James Cook had 19 carries. Ty Johnson had 3. Ray Davis had 0. And then Elijah Moore on a jet sweep. So I don't think there's anything to complain about. If that's what you're looking for, you got it.
Okay. All right. The more we get James Cook the ball, the happier I am, I guess.
And then you should be happy because that's what they did last night.
Okay. My second point is I love Terrell Bernard, and I've been waiting for him. I was waiting for him to make the splash play when he finally did. But oftentimes I see him get 5 yards downfield, I think, getting soaked up by – linemen and not being able to come downhill. I want your assessment on our linebacker play overall.
Well, they're a little bit lighter and smaller. They're a little bit lighter and smaller by design to be more athletic, which allows them to make plays in the passing game. And when linemen get on them, that can be a problem. So the way it has to work is you hope your defensive linemen don't allow that to happen so they can make plays. You could go with bigger linebackers then who are not going to make those splash plays in the passing game or be more athletic and go sideline to sideline. It's just how you want to build it. I have zero issue with Terrell Bernard. I think Terrell Bernard has been a very, very good football player for the Bills. That play he made yesterday was excellent in film study, but no doubt he wasn't filling up the stat sheet yesterday. And you'd like to see a little more of that, but I have zero issue with Terrell Bernard. And the way the Bills design their linebackers, they're a little bit lighter and they're more athletic because they want to be able to make plays in space. That's how it is. And you can't, if you don't want that, then you're not going to get the plays in space if you want more of a downhill guy and a thumper. That make sense? He hung up from Indonesia. I mean, he calls up and says, man, I don't like the running back rotation. There was no rotation last night. James Cook got the ball 19 times. Ty Johnson got it 3. Ray Davis didn't get it. James Cook was on the field for 67% of the snaps last night. That's like a really big number for him. Ty Johnson was on the field for how many? 25. James Cook, 40-15. Ray Davis, 4. I mean, if you're looking, you got exactly what you wanted. So I really don't know what the issue would be, but thanks for the call. 803-0550 here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Stick with me. We'll get to your phone calls. Also get to some sound from postgame yesterday here on a Buffalo Football Friday.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back to pass, looking left, and stretching and reaching for it is Kincaid, and he stumbles into the end zone for the touchdown. A 20-yard touchdown hookup, Allen to Kincaid, and the Bills are an extra point away from tying it up early. Allen gonna roll left, looking for someone in the end zone, and now Shovel passes it, complete to Jackson Hawes for his first career touchdown from 5 yards out. Josh Allen looking like Magic Johnson on the fast break and shovels it to Hawes for the score.
It looked like Josh Allen was going to take that one in with his legs. Instead, just flips it sideways to Hawes. Hawes on the play, started in motion, faked like he was going to block. They run hard play action to Cook, who's
Allen has to step up in the pocket, fires, it's complete over the middle to Elijah Moore, 50, 45, 40, and down to the 35-yard line. There's the catch and yards after by Elijah Moore for 30 big ones.
Some of the sounds from last night's 31-21 Buffalo Bills victory over the Miami Dolphins. Chris Brown on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. You heard Eric Wood in there as well. Nice night inside the stadium last night. It was a beautiful night for football, and the Bills get to 3-0 for the second straight season. Welcome back to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on a Buffalo Football Friday. It is a Victory Friday brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino. Call the 8s. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, Crosby's Hometown Fuel. Game day ready since 1922. You look at the schedule upcoming for the Bills. I mean, we know they have 10 days off before they take on the New Orleans Saints coming here to town on September 28th. And then it's another home game at night. That's the rivalry jerseys against the Patriots, the white jerseys that they unveiled a couple weeks ago. That's going to be on October 5th. And then it's a Monday night game in Atlanta, October 13th. I mean, the Bills have a real look at, you know, getting to 6-0 before the bye. That can be really ambitious, though. It's a lot to ask. It's the NFL, folks. I know that they should be favored in every game. They will be. But, man, even last night we saw, right? Anything can happen in the NFL. So even if they're 5-1, let's say, they drop one somehow. You hope it wouldn't be the Patriots, I guess, in the division. But either way, let's say that happens. You get to 5-1 at the bye. It's a pretty good, darn good start to the season. You get Carolina after that, and then it starts to get a little interesting with the Chiefs, the Dolphins, the Bucks, the Texans, the Steelers, the Bengals. That run, that stretch in the middle of the season, you know, that's why you want to keep winning now, stacking these wins, as they say, keeping some distance between you and the rest of the field, because then if something does happen, you drop a game or two, you might have that cushion. And right now the Bills have a cushion. They're 3-0. They're the first team to 3-0 in the AFC. They have the head-to-head over Baltimore. Nobody else in the AFC East has more than one win. And you just got to keep plugging along. 803-0550, the number to call here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We'll get connected with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Josh in Clarence has been holding for a while. Thank you, Josh. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Sal. Happy Friday.
You too.
Yeah, thanks. I just had two things. First off, Elijah Moore. I was kind of unsure about him in the preseason, but I really like how the Bills have been using him these last couple weeks with those jet sweeps. And then he's had some big catches for first downs, especially the one to kind of close out that game last night. Mm-hmm. And it kind of brings me to my second point. So the Bills are going to have to make some roster decisions in the coming weeks with the suspended players and Max Harrison potentially coming back from injury. Just looking at this roster, it's so well put together. I just don't see who's going to be out when these guys come back in. But one player that does come to mind is Curtis Samuel, because it seems like Elijah Moore has been doing what they maybe wanted Samuel to do. And I don't know, I just kind of wanted your thoughts on, you know, who could the Bills move on from when these guys potentially come back?
It's a great question. I've kind of avoided it because we're not there yet, and injuries could play a part in that. You hope that's not the case. You hope everybody's healthy, and you do have to make tough decisions, Josh, no doubt. They are a couple weeks from that. Let's just remember how this works. Max Harrison is allowed to start practicing after 4 weeks if they feel that he can practice and he's healthy enough. Then they still have 3 more weeks to even activate him. So we're still talking, you know, another month away before they maybe have to make that decision, Josh. But I do think, to your point, to not avoid it here, I do think Curtis Samuel would have to be on the table considering he's been a healthy scratch right at this point. And right. Maybe that's a guy you look at. Jamarcus Ingram was a healthy scratch last night at corner. And if you're going to bring Max Harrison back, how many corners do you need, right? So Jamarcus right. Ingram could be a guy there. What do you got at linebacker? Shaq Thompson, Joe Andreessen. I mean, Andreessen's the direct backup to Bernard, but Shaq Thompson's played well in multiple roles here. So there's just a lot of guys. When Ogunjobi comes back, do you even do that? Here's a question, Josh, that I don't know. Is Ogunjobi even guaranteed a spot when he comes back? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know where you fit him in, to be quite honest with you.
Right, yeah. Sometimes, like you said, sometimes those injuries kind of even everything out, but... Yeah, just kind of curious, like where, you know, what kind of maneuvering they can do. But it's a good problem to have, I guess.
No doubt about it. And I think that your point about Samuel's probably right because, you know, he's been a healthy scratch. But, I mean, the Bills have been reluctant to do that because I think they like a lot of the things he does, which Elijah Moore's doing now. And they pretty much already paid him, right? But sure, certainly that could be on the table. Let's go to Walter. Hi, Walter. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. I know it's a victory. Victory Friday, so we have a lot of callers. I just want to make a couple of points of you and ask you a question. You know, you can tell the linebackers, Bernard, which is a bigger homework, because he ran to that interception. The ball didn't come to him. He ran to him. Like he jumped it. It kind of reminded me of Malcolm Butler. You know, we don't like Patrick Patriots, but I wonder how he jumped that throw to win the Super Bowl in Seattle. That was so reminiscent. Also, I love the way our offense is shaping up. I love the three tight end set. I mean, Cook is 2-3 yards into the backfield before anybody touches him on the other team. And that's because of a great blocking. So, and I like the Dink and Duck they're doing. They're becoming such an efficient offense. I do want Seattle to set it downfield a little bit more. I think yesterday was once. Yeah, I got to keep the defense on as well. Quick question for Sal, and it's a lot of criticism of coaching, but I don't know if I would have taken that field goal shot there to go up 10. I might have just tried to run at the clock, maybe came in deep. I mean, why risk getting it blocked? Why risk a run back for a TD? Because, you know, sadly, over the years, that's been a very...
Well, a couple things here. It's a good question. I wondered what they would do too, Alter. So if you don't kick the field goal there, what do you do? What would you do? Do you go for it? Because if you go for it and get stopped, you give the Miami Dolphins the ball near midfield down 7.
Yeah, but they need a touchdown, not a field goal. How about punting it and try to pin them back? Like, I know it's not a difficult punt. You've got to get some good.
Well, you could do that too. You could do that too, but how much space are you really giving up? It's a maybe it's a 15-yard difference, and again, they get the ball down 7. I think here's what I think at the end of the day, and it's a really good question. I thought about it too, what they would do. But you know what? This comes down to just having faith in your players to execute. and they're like, hey, we're going to kick the field goal and go up 10. You know, if it gets blocked, then we're all, oh my God, I can't believe you did that. But then why didn't they do their job right? I think it comes down to they trusted the fact they could make the play. And if you give them the ball back, you're down 7. By kicking a field goal, you're up 10, and the game's over.
We missed one, and we almost had a block against Baltimore. But
they haven't since then. Almost. Right? Almost.
Yeah. No,
but they didn't since then.
I would have just run the clock. I mean, they had no more timeouts, Miami. I mean, how many plays? If you pin them back even inside their own 20, how far downfield are they going to be able to go? You know,
well, it depends. I don't know. You could also get a pass interference downfield.
Yeah, I suppose. I just would have gone with that.
Yeah, I hear you, but I'm telling you, like they said we can make a field goal, and they did. And if you give them the ball near midfield, you know, down 7, then you're giving Miami a chance to score and tie the game. And I get it. Like, sure, there's a lot of ways. Hey, there's a lot of ways you could always wash. You should have done this. Should have done that. If you want to say, don't judge it on results, that's fine. But they kicked the field goal and they went up 10 and they won the game. So almost got the field goal blocked against Baltimore. You know what's happened since then? Not that, because they fixed that problem. So, yeah, you're right. It could have been blocked. And then we'd all be ruining it and saying, oh, my God, I can't believe they did that. But they had faith that they would make the field goal. And even after they missed one earlier. So, yeah, I don't agree they should have gone for it. I'll say that, because if you miss on 4th and, what was it, 6 or 7 at the time? Let me look at the play-by-play here. The Bills had the ball. They kicked the field goal here. 4th and 5 from the 30. Well, not mere midfield then. So if you go for it and miss, you're going to give them the ball down 7. They could throw the ball deep, get a pass interference, anything can happen. They said, let's go up 10. It's a 48-yard field goal. We know our guy can make it. Little risky. Didn't turn out that risky. They made it. And you should be happy. 31-21, they win the game. Let's hear from Sean McDermott after the game. This is post-game Sean McDermott after the Bills beat the Dolphins 31-21.
First of all, good to get a win. Never easy. That was a heck of a game. High-level competition. Dolphins played a real good game, and our guys made a couple more plays, and I thought the grit, the mental toughness of our football team was on display throughout the game, in particular in the fourth quarter there. Deion getting his hands up, Deion Walker and TB making that play and then being able to seal the game. Good to see. In a four-minute offense there, you know, get the yards we needed to put the game away with Matt and Reed and Cam going out there. That's a key situation to be able to put it away right there. And crowd was phenomenal, as it always is. Great to play at home in front of our fans. They're unique, and we love them. Couple firsts. So we've got Jimbo tying the franchise record for consecutive rushing touchdowns. Jackson Hall's in his first NFL touchdown. Great to see the smile on his face. And I already mentioned TB and Matt with the kick there. So a lot to work on. Kind of hit a little bit of a gap there in terms of scoring. Thought we were off to a great start, and then we shot ourselves in the foot a little bit there with the third or fourth drive, and should have come. I thought it should have been 17-7 at a minimum. We missed the field goal, and they went down and scored. So 14-14 and a half. But our guys didn't blink. They were resilient. Coaches did a great job on all three phases, and continued to adjust and make the adjustments we had to make. So with that, time is yours.
Coach, do you feel like you guys effectively started hemming Tua in because they rolled him out maybe more than we're used to seeing, making some plays out on the perimeter, and it seemed like you were able to hem him in a little bit more effectively in the second half?
I thought Bobby and the defensive staff made some adjustments. Still too many third down conversions where he was extending the play more than I would have liked to have seen, and so we got to look at that a little bit more, and same with the red zone. But overall, making a big play like that, I thought defensively we felt like we were playing well. Other than the first drive, you know, I thought at halftime we were playing well. It was the third downs before the half, and then the third downs really after the half. It continued, but I thought first and second down by and large was pretty good. And it's a good offense, right? Explosive, and you know, but I thought we gave our offense the ball. getting the ball to the offense. We just couldn't find a rhythm other than the first drive of the second half around offense. So, but give Joe and those guys credit. I mean, you score 31 points, and you seal the game in 4 minutes for the most part. So that's hard to do.
Sean, you mentioned Deion Walker on the interception play. Think about how far he's come since the draft and the work that he did on his body in the offseason. And then to make a play in crunch time like that, I mean, what does that say about him?
Yeah, that's huge. We always talk about rush and coverage working together, and that won't show up necessarily in the stat sheet, perhaps, but that could have been as big of a play, even more so than the TBs. I don't want to, grade them against each other, but if he doesn't do that, is the ball thrown a little bit, a little bit more one direction than the other? So great read by TB, great rushing coverage example for our players to learn from.
Terrell said that Al Holcomb showed him something like that during the week, and that how important is that about kind of keeping that in the back of your head, because you never know in the course of a game when you're going to need that?
Well, there's a certain thing we look for, in that style of coverage, and TB saw it, and which is growth. Last week we had two examples of a similar type of indicator, and we didn't see it. So that's growth and development. And that's what coaches are here for, and players have done a phenomenal job of being coachable, like TB in particular.
Any health reports at this point, Coach?
Don't have anything for you. No.
Is there anything that Jackson Haas allows you guys to do offensively, being that he's such a good blocker in the run game, and we've seen him make a couple good catches now?
Yeah, it's great when these young players can come in and contribute and earn their spots and their roles. And he's very humble and comes to work every day, extremely tough, hard worker. And it's good to see him contributing in both the run and the pass. So, we'll see where it goes from here.
Sean, you had Dalton make a big block on a play, and then you got Haas making a big catch. So isn't that kind of, that's messing up the narrative there of what these guys are, right?
Yeah. Well, we got to go back and look at that then. We don't want to be too balanced.
Sean, you mentioned the third downs and needing to still look at them from a defensive standpoint. But was there anything to the third and long that was particularly working for the Dolphins and why they were able to convert?
Well, what I remember from the game was the quarterback extending some of the plays a little bit longer than he should be able to. And then finding an open receiver, which is going to happen the longer receivers have time to move around. So I think that's something that, again, that we have to look at and continue to kind of tweak to figure out. It's past my bedtime. See you guys. Continue to figure out, especially with Ed not being available. So we'll see where that goes in the next week. But we miss Ed inside, and TJ's in there, Joey's out there, Greg's out there, Daquan's out there, and they're getting the quarterback to move, but the rushing coverage just have to time up a little bit better. So, but again, I tip my cap to the defense. They played their hearts out, played hard against a really good offense, and to say, hey, to really be able to kind of shine the light on probably the biggest problem area being that was third down. I mean, last year we only got them in 8 third downs in the second game. I think tonight we had 15 third downs. We had 10 at halftime. So it's closing a team out, closing a drive out, and cashing in those situations. We've got to look at that.
It's an interesting comment right there by Sean McDermott, isn't it? And he said, the third downs, obviously 10 of 15, not a good percentage. But you forced them into 15 third downs. That's really good football on defense, but you got to finish it. And I think it's an interesting way to look at it. So he actually liked the way his defense played overall. But third down was an issue, but really that was the only issue. The Dolphins averaged 4.6 yards a play. That is very low in the NFL. The only thing the Bills, defensively, I had an issue with yesterday that could be better was third down defense. And that started because they just didn't get to Tua. And they did some nice things to move him, but he never finished him. That's it. Otherwise, the defense actually played a good game yesterday. 4.6 yards a play is not much in the National Football League. 803-0550, number to call. Sal Capaccio here. Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show in Adams and Silver Creek. Hi, Adam.
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
Just kind of, just going based off the eye test last night, seemed like when we blitzed, just the inability to get to 2-0. We know his mobility is very average, I'd say, at best. I mean, just, I guess, how concerning would this be to you that, you know, even when we do bring extra pressure, you know, we fail to get to the quarterback, you know, especially given the talent that we do have up front, even minus Ed Oliver. I think we're still very talented in the front four. And then also with the tight end position, I'm absolutely loving what I'm seeing out of Jackson Hawes. Yeah. Just where do you kind of see him fitting into the offense? I personally see him getting ahead of Dawson Knox in terms of, you know, priority and on the depth chart, you know, given Knox has a history of drops. And, you know, we saw that last week, especially on a critical third down. So I'm just going to hang up and listen to your comments, and thanks for taking my call.
You got it. Number one, yeah, it's concerning, but listen, they didn't finish Tua. They did get to him enough where he had to move. That was one of the things that he did, which was like, wow, I can't believe this is Tua. He moved. He got out of the pocket. He ran. And you don't account for that when you're going against Tua. You're not trying to have him in. He's not Lamar Jackson. Against Lamar, you're like, let's keep him in the pocket. Second half, they did a much better job of that, to keep him in the pocket. And they said, okay, if he's going to run, we're going to have to keep him in the pocket here. I didn't like the fact they couldn't finish Tua. I don't think it's as egregious, though, as the stats look. I agree with you. They should have been better in the pass rush, but they were getting close, and he was getting out of it. And I do think Ed Oliver will help. So am I concerned? Sure. But I think there are – that was a game where you didn't expect him to be able to move out of the pocket, and you weren't planning on that to keep him in the pass rush. Yeah, I mean, there was one play. Tre'Davious White just took a terrible angle at the very end of a nice blitz. Good, great time blitz, well called, Bobby Babich. Tre'Davious White's got him in his sights, and he just – it spins right away from him, right? If Trey gets to him and goes for the back shoulder instead of the front, you're probably talking about a sack right there and a big loss, right? So those are the little differences that wound up mattering. I don't know why. I love Jackson Hawes too and what he's bringing. And I get this a lot. And I heard somebody call yesterday and say he could take over for Dalton Kincaid. I mean, you don't have to be so quick to rush to get somebody off the field when a lot of things are working with them on the field. And I know that's not what you're saying on the call. You said that, you know, maybe he takes over Dawson Knox in the depth chart. I don't know. Not right now. I think Jackson Hawes is in a good role. He's a blocking tight end. And yes, Dawson has had some drops. He's also, you know, been available for Josh Allen and made some catches. And he's able to kind of offer you a little bit of the blocking, a little bit of the catching. He's not the pass catcher Dalton Kincaid is. He's not the blocker Jackson Hawes is, but he's in between. And the Bills can run 13 personnel out there. The Bills like what they have there. I don't see Jackson Hawes taking over Dawson Knox snap count usage anytime soon. But I do think that as he goes on, you know, that's a conversation for another day. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. We're going to hear from Josh Allen post-game. Before we do that, though, I want to direct your attention to something the Buffalo Sabres just put out. An incredibly powerful letter written by Rasmus Dahlin about a situation that happened this offseason with his wife, Carolina. I'm sorry, his fiance, Carolina. And I encourage you to read this. This is on their social media pages, Instagram as well as Twitter. It's at sabres.com as well. And just to let you know, while they were on vacation in France, Rasmus Dahlin's fiance began to feel sick, he writes. It turned into an experience that she had her experiencing major heart failure. She received CPR on multiple occasions and up to a couple hours at a time to keep her alive, which ultimately saved her life. He writes, without her receiving life-saving CPR, the result would have been unimaginable. It is hard to even think about the worst-case scenario. She was transferred to a hospital where she remained on life support for weeks before she was a beneficiary of a heart transplant while in France. She's recovering now. She'll be rehabbing now. And it's a very powerful emotional letter written by Rasmus Dahlin, captain of the Buffalo Sabres. You can find it at sabres.com, on the Sabres social media pages, Instagram, X. I've retweeted it as well. And wow, we're really glad that she's doing okay, that she's better, and cannot imagine that situation. And when you read it, you'll understand a little bit more in depth on what happened here. So go check that out. All right. After the game yesterday, Josh Allen spoke to the media. Bills win 31-21. Here's Visor Josh.
Late in the second quarter, you're going down and make it 21-7. That moment seemed to turn this game. When the second and eighth play failed, the sack, the missed field. Did that kind of get things going in the wrong direction there?
Yeah, I think so. Just understand I can't take a sack there and move us backwards. You know, there's a threshold where you're close enough, sacks don't really matter, but kind of in that mid-range, moving it back, you know, really puts our special teams in a tougher situation, and that's on me.
So, Josh, you better talk about, it seemed like the offense today was a little hot, cold, just, you know, trying to maintain that rhythm. Was it due to the short work week, or what do you go into?
I mean, they had a good plan today. I thought their offense did a good job of, you know, sustaining drives and really limiting our opportunities. You know, I thought we had opportunities on the offensive side, and we didn't take advantage of some of them. But, you know, at the end of the day, we got the win.
Jackson Haas said that he's already learned early on to always expect the ball with you. What happened on that play when you're rolling out there?
Yeah, just, you know, extending the play, a little naked action. He did a good job of just staying in concert with me and, you know, just got the corner there. I think it was Rasul to just kind of commit one way, and, you know, he stayed alive for me and made a play.
After the TV interception, you know, you got into that penalty situation. How big was the play to Moore, though? Because that enabled you to run it out. Really.
No, that was unbelievable. You know, smart play, finding a window in zone, giving me good body language. You know, he made some good plays for us tonight. It was awesome to see.
Josh, what have you seen different in James Cook?
I mean, it's the same James Cook. The guy just attacks every time he touches the ball. He looks like he's been shot out of a cannon every time he touches it. You know, he's so fun to play with. Wants the ball, ultimate competitor. You know, there's times where I toss it to him, I hand it off to him, and I'm just already putting my hands up because I feel like he's about to crib it. And there's two that were real close tonight, real close, and he'll tell you that too. But you know, he's been such a catalyst for our offense. Special player.
Seemed like you wanted to get Dalton involved early. Was that part of the plan based on what they do? Because he was your guy early on there.
Yeah, I mean, we'd love to get everybody involved early. You know, there's just some opportunities for him, and he made the most of them. So, yeah.
Josh, you seem to have a comfort zone more so this year than previous years. Is that your growth into the sport itself, just taking what the defense has given you?
100%. I think there's obviously times throughout games where the situation dictates you to – maybe put the pedal down a little bit more. And there's some times where it's like, hey, just take it easy, relax. I wouldn't say play the long game, but just understanding where you're at, you know, within the situation of the game and not trying to force anything. You know, we saw that tonight, just kind of staying as calm as possible, you know, and just being prepared for any situation that we were going to be in. You know, it was going to be either a 2 minute at the end there or 4 minute, and Terrell Bernard makes a fantastic play, and we can be in a 4 minute drill there.
What did you learn about this team in particular in the first 3 weeks of the season?
I mean, you know, we're obviously doing our job, going 1-0 each week. Still a lot to learn from, a lot to grow, a lot of room for growth in this group. A lot of young guys, but guys are stepping up. There's been some guys down with injuries, and guys are stepping up and making some big-time plays for us, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Yeah, I mean, it's a close unit that's, you know, gelling together really well right now, and I got to keep finding ways to win football games.
Well, it looked like, you know, first couple weeks working back from that ankle injury, and now today gets his first touchdown of the year. Just how nice is it to get him back in rhythm with the offense?
It's awesome. You know, Khalil does everything the right way, constantly following the ball, constantly being in the right spots. You know, he makes some unbelievable plays for us. You know, that was a great play, you know, finding a way to get in the end zone there, and we're going to need more of that going forward.
You were aware that was your 200th career touchdown pass?
I was not. I was not. It's pretty cool. It's my parents' anniversary tonight, too, so it's pretty cool. Yeah.
How'd you get Fitz to take his shirt off?
It was the fans. Yeah. He's a showman. Let's not. Come on now. He knew he was going to do it. He wanted to play hard to get a little bit, but he knew he was going to do it at the end of the night.
I didn't know that was an anniversary present to your parents.
You know what? Yeah, happy anniversary, Mom and Dad. Here's Ryan Fitzpatrick without a shirt on.
All right, Josh Allen after the game last night. We're going to hear from Sean McDermott live down at One Bills Drive, hopefully after this timeout, because you never know if he is actually there at the exact time, but we'll plan on that. So we'll take a timeout here, and we'll get you ready for Sean McDermott down at One Bills Drive. Not sure we'll be able to bring in Sean McDermott live from One Bills Drive because we're still waiting on that. And so we want to make sure that we get out of here on time, of course, for Sabres Live coming up next here after this. And just in case you didn't hear me earlier, please go to the Sabres social media account, read the letter from Rasmus Dahlin about the really scary situation with his fiance, Carolina, who went into heart failure and CPR while they were on vacation in France. He wrote about it. She's recovering now, which is really good news, obviously. But please go read that. That's at the Sabres social media pages as well as Sabres.com. All right. In the meantime, we're going to get you into the locker room after the game and hear from Jackson Hawes. He caught his first ever NFL touchdown last night against the Miami Dolphins.
Jackson Hawes.
Kind of blanked a little bit because it was a short week, and you know, we just kind of installed a whole bunch of new plays and we called the timeout, and then went back out there, slipped a little bit, felt good though, and Josh just being Josh and getting the ball.
Most people play it out in their head what they're going to do when they score their first touchdown in the NFL. Did you envision it, and did it go your way afterwards? What'd you do?
I knew I had that play in, so I was kind of planning something, but in the moment, like, everything just, like my mind was just, I don't even know where I was. It was just, this is amazing, and I just thought to go with the spike, so, yeah.
It looked like you blocked your guy to the ground on that play, too, before you got out there.
I did give him a good little pop, yeah, give him a good little pop.
When Josh is running toward you, do you know that the ball's coming to you? I mean, it looked like he may have had a lane to run, and then he flips it at the last kind of second there.
I mean, he's the MVP, man. He's the greatest player in the world, so anything can happen with him. You just got to be ready.
As a young player, what's the process like of learning how to play with a guy like Josh who extends plays and throws shovel passes for touchdowns? How do you learn how to be prepared like that?
I think it's just little things like that. You know, we go through these walkthroughs where we're kind of, you know, they're slower, a little bit slow pace, but he's kind of, he'll be messing around and give you a little no looker every now and then with the ball. And so really it's just kind of getting you ready for the games. Yeah.
Two touchdowns by tight ends tonight. How much stress does it put on a defense to know that you guys can bring three really at them?
Yeah. I mean, us three and Reggie at fullback, you know, we're a legitimate like four-headed snake. I mean, we have got a lot of guys that do a lot of good stuff, and we're coached well and get the job done.
Congratulations to Jackson Hawes. He recorded his first ever NFL touchdown. He got an arrow up from me yesterday. You can read that at WGR550.com. Arrow up, arrow down after the Bills win 31-21. A guy that had a front row seat to the interception by his defensive teammate, Terrell Bernard, was Taron Johnson. He spoke to the media after the game as well.
Taron, the big play by Terrell, mm-hmm. What did you see in front of you on that play? He said, I think at the podium, that he saw it on film.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like he had said he saw it early in the game as well, and he was low-key waiting for that play, you know what I'm saying? And they did it, and he was right there ready to make it.
What about third downs tonight? I mean, you guys made plays at the end when you needed it, but what was going on those third downs?
Man, it was tough. Some of them he was getting out. Some of them we weren't plastering well. I mean, we got to be better at the end of the day. But we will. We'll figure it out. I'm just happy we got the dub.
It's a division opponent on 4 days. NFL's never easy, but how much is it good to get this win and then know you have 10 days to the next one?
It's great. You know what I'm saying? It's a great feeling, us being able to go home with a win. And we don't take it for granted, and we just want to keep going.
Dwayne Carter said last year, no matter what the team is, you always have to play your best. Mm-hmm. Did you feel like you guys were prepared no matter what you were looking at with Miami ahead?
Yeah, I think we were prepared. Obviously, them third downs, we could have done better, but I feel like we were prepared.
All right, Bills cornerback Taron Johnson right there. Folks, it's a Friday, and you can kick up your feet and watch the rest of the NFL action, knowing the Bills are 3-0 in the clubhouse, the first 3-0 team this season, the first team to three wins at all in the National Football League. The rest of the Sunday slate, the rest of the, I should say, NFL slate starts on Sunday, 1 o'clock. You got Falcons at Panthers, two teams the Bills will play this year. If you want to watch that, two teams actually not too far off on the schedule. You got to play these teams. Packers are at the Browns. Browns looking for their first win of the season. Packers 2-0. Texans are 0-2. They take down the Jaguars, a key AFC South matchup there. Bengals at the Vikings, the battle of the backup quarterbacks here with Joe Burrow and J.J. McCarthy both out, obviously. Steelers are at the Patriots. Big game for both teams here. Neither wants to drop to 1-2 in the AFC. Steelers at Patriots at 1 o'clock. Rams are at the Eagles, both 2-0. Rematch of last year's playoff game. Jets are at the Bucks. Jets looking for their first win. Colts are at the Titans. Titans looking for their first win. Colts are 2-0. Raiders are at the Commanders. No Jaden Daniels, it looks like. Broncos at the Chargers. This is 4:05 p.m. In the AFC West. Big matchup there. Saints are at the Seahawks. Saints are the Bills' next opponent. Cowboys at the Bears on Sunday at 4:25. Also, Cardinals at Saints at 4:25. Your late game Sunday. Sunday Night Football. Chiefs at Giants. Be great if the Giants and Brian Daboll could get that win, right, against the Chiefs. I don't know if I see that happening, but man, if they can score like they did against the Cowboys, you never know. Lions at the Ravens Monday night. That is a great game offensively. I think should be a lot of points and fireworks score in that game. That's the Lions at the Ravens. Joe, just want to make sure. It is Sabres Live today, right? I know there was a Bills game yesterday, so it is Sabres Live coming up next, right? Just want to make sure with everybody.
We're undefined on that, unfortunately.
Oh, okay. So, hey, could be one Bills Live for all we know. Keep it tuned here, though. We're going to have Sabres and Bills and everything else going forward today. I do know this. Bills Live will be on, whether that's right now or right after, and then show up with the Bulldog at 3 o'clock here on WGR. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, folks. The Bills are 3-0, 31-21 over the Miami Dolphins. Check out Arrow Up, Arrow Down, and a whole bunch more at WGR550.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.